You know, from the very beginning, God has created the home, and the home is basically the place to house a family. And God, scriptures say over in Psalms that God has put the solitary in families. And we need each other. And a home is a place for growth, it's a place for love and acceptance, a place of encouragement, of peace. It's a place for rest and restoration, for relaxation. And home is where the heart is, and that's where people are that love each other. Now, don't ever get the idea that the four walls are more important than the relationships when it comes to the home. You know, builders like to take you out to show you these beautiful new homes. Well, don't misunderstand. Those are houses. Home is what is in the house. And so don't ever get the idea that the four walls are more important than the relationships that go on in that home. And if you do, you'll cheat those who love you and those who you're responsible for. And each member of the family has a role to perform if there's to really be the home in that house that's needed. And the home, we want to emphasize, begins with marriage. A young man and woman choose each other out of all the people that they've ever known to love and to be committed to for life. And each has a special role that is designed by God. And at least these are the roles we want to examine something somewhat today. Now, as we've already shared a great deal with you about the role and responsibilities of the husband and wife, scriptures denote that the husband is a protector and the provider. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "He who does not provide for his own is worse than an unbeliever. He's worse than an infidel." So God takes the area of the provision of the husband very, very seriously. And he is the overall leader. He's responsible for the provision and for the general maintenance of the home. The husband works to buy the house or to pay the rent, to provide the furnishings, the food, clothing, the medicine, but he also works to enrich the soul and the spirit. He's the one that's responsible for providing the education for the children, vacations, recreation, and all that's needed for a healthy family. Now, the wife is really the heart of the home. She's especially gifted to provide the warmth and the beauty of the home. And if you don't believe that, you just walk into some of the bachelor pads sometime and see the difference. She provides the little decorative things that give the personal touch to a barren room. She provides the tenderness, the softness. She really provides the atmosphere of the home. She adds the flavor, the comfort. She takes away the coldness and the harshness. She maintains cleanliness and order. And Titus 2, 4, and 5 says that she's to be a keeper at home. So she keeps the home. And most of all, a woman is a nurturer. From the very moment of conception, she nurtures the new life that's inside her body. And really, she never ceases in this role as long as she has a living family, and that of being a nurturer. She loves and cuddles and feeds and encourages and strengthens and helps. And Gladys Hunt said that being a homemaker is a great adventure God entrusted to a married woman. And her influence spreads beyond her imagination. It will take the very best to be a homemaker that any woman has to offer. It cannot be her casual interest. It must be her major concern. It will drive her to a life with God that is deep and rich and can mean the unconscious expansion of her puny soul.
Today we want to focus on the role of the woman, because the role today is in a very confused state, as you know. And you know, because of the great influence that women have over men today, when we get our roles mixed up and confused, then it can throw off a man. He doesn't know what his role is, and we can cause a lot of confusion. Women are called to homemaking by divine appointment. Proverbs 12:4 talks about a wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman plucks it down with her own hands. And so the call to homemaking is not just by our society. It's not because of necessity, but it's because God has designed it for us. As Christians, we have to constantly evaluate what we're doing. After we ask the question, well, Lord, how does this affect my relationship with you? Then we've got to ask the next question, how will this, whatever it is, affect my relationship with my family, with my mate, or with our children? And a man must face this situation with his job. And many times a man will get a job advancement that will take him away from the family for long periods of time. And he must make a choice. He must ask that question, how will it affect my family? And many times men have had to make the decision not to take the advancement because of the detriment to the family. People today do not realize, as men leave their families, they do not realize the tremendous need of a child for a mother and a daddy. And so this is a real consideration that we as Christians must make. I clipped an article out of the paper. It's called Working Moms Reflect the Times. This came out of the 1982 Norman transcript. And I just wanted to read you a few of the statistics. The pace at which mothers are joining the workforce is unmatched in history. In March 1982, this statistic came out, half of all mothers of preschoolers were working or seeking work. This is the 7.4 million. Another point, more than half of all children from infants through high school have mothers who work outside the home. This adds up to 32 million children. About 8.5 million of them are under 6 years of age. Okay, and what they're concluding here is that we need more child care centers. We face a new problem today with vast majorities of the women entering the workforce. Some are there for valid reasons. Some really do need to work because they do need to support their children. Some are single women. Some are there whose husbands are ill. Others are there for the wrong reasons. They're looking for personal fulfillment, self-identity, personal ambition, struggling to compete with men. Parenthetically, as women's roles become more like men, so do our problems. Real problems are caused by the latter group, the ones that are working for the wrong reasons. We'll mention a few here, not necessarily in order of their importance, but just so that it'll give you something to think about. Women who really don't need to work today, and I do know some, we're not just making this up, but women who do not need to work because of their husband's high-paying professions, who often take jobs away from men in our situation today who are struggling to provide for families. That's one problem. Divorcees. Now, I think the statistic is about there are about half as many divorces as there are marriages, and I'm sure it's probably maybe even higher. I'm not sure of the statistic, but these divorcees are now running around by the millions. And what they're doing, they're looking for new mates, getting out of one relationship, looking forward to another one that'll make them happy. And if your wife is working, then she can be this man's choice of a mate. Children who desperately need the stabilizing force of their own mother are deprived of this God-given commodity because of often of the selfish desires of the mother to be fulfilled and to provide more things. I've recently read a book called Where Have All the Mothers Gone by Brenda Hunter, and I'd recommend it to you. She's a former self-proclaimed feminist, and I'd like to share just a few of her observations with you from the book. I would highly recommend it. You may not want to, you may want to keep it for future reference. It's difficult to be totally involved in the cult of self and at the same time effectively care for the children who live with us. While this narcissism may be helping mother find gratification outside of home, husband, and children, her children are paying a price for this emphasis on doing one's thing. A number of suicides among children has increased from 10 to 14 years of age. It's risen to 32% since 1968. And then this man is talking that she's quoting. She said, kids who come to my office, he's a principal, reveal an emptiness in their lives, a lack of love, a lack of spiritual values, a lack of discipline. That old security is gone. me just a moment. And she said, I left my children for good reasons. Initially, I was unhappy at home and believed sincerely that they would not be hurt as I pursued personal fulfillment through my teaching career. I now believe that God will augment our limited funds if we have the right priorities, and our children are certainly a top priority in any mother's life. I have come to see just how much I contribute to the children's feelings of security and well-being. And she's recognized this from years of growing reading and listening to her children.
So the family's lifestyle should be dictated by only the husband's income?
No, we haven't said that altogether. But the husband is to be the provider for the family. And see, I think we're getting in trouble in this society as we try to move on up with our standard of living. Many times we're taking the wife outside the home. And I'll have some more to say about this in a minute. Now, don't misunderstand what we're saying. Women have always worked. Now, see, if somebody gets the idea, well, women don't work. Now, listen, women have always worked. No woman was ever a good wife or mother who doesn't work. But traditionally, it was in the home where she would fulfill her God-given responsibilities to her family. But now times have changed, but God's desire and plan for the family hasn't changed. Today, women are trained for careers just like men. Now, I want to read an article to you. We've got so much stuff here today. This article also came out in January of this year from the Norman. This was in the Norman Transcript. And they did a study of 8,000 undergraduates in about seven New England women's schools. And one of the things that they were trying to find out was, what do women basically think about careers and families? And one of the things that they found that they were trying to do was trying to balance a career with a family and also in the home. And one thing that was interesting, he said these women that were surveyed are finding that their goals now are not to be teachers or secretaries or some things like that, which women primarily were doing at one time. But the women surveyed were now trying to go into medicine, law, and business with writing and journalism, also getting a lot of votes. They're trying to become political scientists, college professors, social scientists, diplomats, psychologists, or counselors. And so women are no longer going for the jobs they once did, but they're going for jobs that are going to be very, very demanding. And when asked how they would balance their careers with raising children, the women had a number of clear conflicts, and they weren't sure how they were going to be able to pull that off. And he goes on to say that they are going to have conflicts. There's no way that a woman's going to be in a very demanding career and try to give priority to her home without it causing some real conflict in that family. To work outside the home produces conflict as never before with priorities. Where does a woman's priorities lie? With her job or with her husband and children in the home? Okay?
An article in February of 1981 in the New York Magazine, a woman writing on love and work, says that the dual-career couple is severely stressed. Instead of coexisting blissfully, many dual-career couples are wrestling continuously with professional rivalry, guilt about neglecting each other or their children, friends and relatives, and performance anxiety, both on the job and in the home.
Now, the situation is this. In America, we're set up on a 40-hour work week. That is a minimum of 40 hours, which means not only 8 hours normally, but usually a person that works is away from home for at least 9 hours because there's also the lunch hour. So basically what this does, this cuts the heart out of 5 out of the 7 days that you have. When you take 8 to 5 on any given day out of that day, then it takes a great deal of that day away. And so here are some questions that you should be should be answered before a woman takes employment outside the home. You want to go ahead? All right. One question is, why do I want to work? Now, that's one question a woman asks. Why do I want to work outside the home? Now, especially is this true when there are small children involved. A second question, and you're not going to find this from most of the feminists, how will this affect my time with God? Are there opportunities for witness and ministry? A third question, does my husband really want me to work? Another question, will it lower his self-esteem as a provider? Another question, would a part-time job help to meet the need as well as a full-time job? Another question, how will this affect the children? Okay. How will this affect the children and their security? How will this affect the children and their security? What about timing? Should I wait until they're older? Now, I want to parenthetically say something. No one can take your place. If you're a mother, no one can take your place, regardless of how sweet or godly they are. One of the things the lady said in the book, and Sandra may have something to say about that. You want to read page?
This was a report on 11 million teenagers that 21 million young people in the U.S. between the ages of 15 and 19, more than half, or some 11 million, had sexual relations. And they also report that one-third of all abortions are obtained by teenagers. And the book stated that a lot of times a mother thinks, well, now that my kids are big, I don't need to stay at home. But that the most common place that teenagers get pregnant are in your home, because parents are gone and the kids know it.
And they found that a lot of the times that the kids in school know the mothers that don't work. And so it's to their homes they go after school where there's no parents. Yeah. I mean, they know where they're... Yes. You know what I mean. The mother's not home, so that's where they go. Will I have time to... Another question. Will I have time to keep the home as unto the Lord? What about the home? Will I be too tired to care and really keep it as it should? What about a ministry? What about my personal ministry? Will there be time for it if I'm trying to be a wife, a mother, a homemaker? Will there be time for other ministry? What about my needs for leisure and self-development? Will you have time for that, for fun things with the family if you're working? One alternative for outside employment for a mother is to find or create a job she can do at her home while her children are young and during school hours when they're older. There are many benefits to this arrangement for a woman to learn to do something that she can do in her home. And I would highly suggest that you read that book. It's got some very helpful things in it along that line. Now, we've asked John Harrington to come. John's on the BSU staff. And I know one time before, John, faced this situation when he was in seminary and felt like he came out of that with some insights that might be helpful. So we've asked him just to come, and I don't know, we've not been over exactly what he's going to share, but just some insights that he's gained along this line. So John, if you'll come.
I'm really grateful for the opportunity to get to come and share with you guys. And, I sure don't have it all figured out on this thing, and this is a very touchy subject, and I know my flesh always reacts to this whole topic, and I start listening to what the world's saying about where your significance lies, and I think that's the real issue is for you as a woman to ask, where does my real significance lie? Does it lie? Does my identity, does my significance lie in my work or in my relationship with Jesus Christ? And then being obedient to what He's called me to. And so, well, I really struggle with this because I wanted to get married, and I was in love, and I was a senior in college. And so I graduated and worked for a year while Angela finished school. And, man, I didn't want to wait anymore. And I know some of you are there. You know, I didn't want to wait any longer. I knew I wanted to go to seminary, but that was 3 more years. And I just didn't think I could wait for 3 years. And, you know, that's going to be something that you're going to have to, some of you are going to have to decide on. And this really, my experience on this thing is really not from a perspective of, you know, having a wife that wanted to have a career or anything, but my perspective is, you know, here I was, I wanted to get married, and I still had 3 more years of education. How would we get married and how would we live? And so we chose for Angela to go ahead and teach school, and we went, and she went while I was going to seminary. And boy, I tell you what, things really, we've got a tremendous marriage, and the Lord's really blessed us. But I really think when I really look at all the facts and everything that I went through, I really wonder whether I wouldn't have been better off to have waited. And Angela said the same. I wonder if we should have waited. You know, that's a pretty scary thing to say, you know, that you made that kind of mistake. I don't know. I mean, God's redeemed it, you know, and He's made it, and He's used it for good. But I just wanted to quickly share with you a few things. And by the way, you know, when I'd hear a talk on marriage and everything and about people that were having trouble with finances, that's the real issue here, by the way. That's one of the real key issues is the money thing. And, you know, I'd look at these things like I went to Gothard, and he talked about the progression of problems between a woman and a man when the woman was working and providing in the home. And I thought, well, man, piece of cake, boy. We hadn't had those problems at all. We're doing great. And so I thought, boy, we've really got things pretty well together. And then he just added at the end, he said, and you know, some of you really don't see right now the problems that are going on in your marriage because you've only been married for a little while. And right now you are sowing seeds out there. They're going to spring up in a few years. And so, you know, it took about 3 years, about the third year we were married before I began to see some of the seeds that we've been sowing. And so real quickly, I'd just like to go through what the ones were from our situation. And and then you can make your own decision about this. The first thing, of course, was that Angela married John, who was not able to support her financially, and willingly accepted her offer to help him by working. And you know, when we talked about it, it's such a spiritual thing. That's going to be my ministry to you, you know. And what I did, my response was that I surrendered a part of my responsibility by depending on her to provide for our needs. And you know, 1 Timothy 5:8, I'm sure Max and Sandra brought that up. If any man does not provide for his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Well, you know, I tried to just kind of slip on by that verse when it came up. Well, this is just a season, you know. No patterns here. You know, I'm not denying the faith. I mean, I'm in seminary after all. So, yeah, this is a spiritual thing I'm doing. Second thing that began to happen, this is the first thing that I begin to notice happening. By the way, Angela is she is more conservative financially than I am. She really is. She is much more conservative than I am. And those of you that know her, I guess you would know, Sandra would probably know that. She's very frugal. She's not a spendthrift at all. But the thing that I begin to notice is we walk down a mall or something, and there's some big ones in Arlington where we were living, and we were walking down the mall, and all of a sudden she'd see something in the window, you know, a dress or something, and she'd say, man, I'd like to have that. And yet, guess what my response was? I'd like for you to have that. And then all of a sudden I'd think back at our budget, and I'd think, there's no way that we can have that. And I'd have to say, well, you know, I really don't think that, you know, we can afford that. And she'd say, yeah, I know, we can't. And in my mind, in my heart, boy, it just really got me. You know, it would always really bother me that I couldn't buy her that dress. And then I'd start feeling guilty. Here she is, and this was the pattern I saw over and over again, guilt starting to pile up on me. Oh, man, if only I were working, I could buy her that dress. Here I'm going to school. I have breaks during the day, and I go to the coffee shop and talk theology with some preacher boy, you know, and I've got, and when I get home before she does some days, and I'll take an hour nap before she gets home, and I'll wake up, and here she is coming in from school, and she's had screaming memes crawling all over her all day. And, boy, I felt I had some real guilt about that because I wasn't working. And so what did I do? Well, I went and got a job. But she still kept hers. So I got a job. And so what that did was that just made things more complicated. Because, see, then we had less time together. And it got to where all we did was we kind of, you know, said hello on the way passing. Because I was in school and I was staying up till 2 and 3 at night. And I was getting up about the same time she was. And I'd go to class, and I'd come, and I'd go directly to work. And I was a land surveyor, and we worked till dark, and then I'd drive home from my job, and it was about a 30-minute drive. And so I'd get home about the time she was starting to wind down, and then I was all fired up about having a ministry, and so I was ready to go back to church, and go visiting. We were totally involved in our church, and boy. Anyway, this big guilt thing began to come because of the busyness of our life. And I tried a temporary remedy to deal with my guilt and not the real problem, and it didn't work. Tom?
Could your job have supported both of you?
No, could not have. I could only work about 20 hours a week, and it couldn't have. There's no way it could have. Okay. Anyway, to sum that up, I'd feel guilty in denying her things, even if she didn't really need it, because she's providing the income. I mean, that's her money, in effect. She works hard, and she deserves special reward for her efforts. That's the thing. That was the mindset. That's the thinking that I began to develop. Next thing that happened is she began to get physically run down, and I've already described that. She began to get physically run down and trying to maintain a job and care for the house as well as for my needs. And she resented it when I didn't help her enough. And she didn't understand my own pressures from school. And so I'd stay up all night studying, and then, you know, I wasn't all that thrilled about washing dishes, you know, or running the vacuum sweeper, or making the beds, and some of the things that, you know, really. And, boy, I've really had to learn to do those things. And, man, you have to learn to do those things. When you have kids, you really have to learn to do them. And it's not like that's all a woman's job. But at the same time, I really began to feel my masculinity. I was starting to feel really insecure about it. Because, man, she was wanting me to keep house. See? And here I was going to school, and I thought that was my responsibility, and hers was keeping that house and working. See? And girls, if you work, I would challenge you to make sure that you divide the responsibilities around the house, because that's one of the first things men, even they don't mind you working. In fact, there are a lot of men that want their wives to work because of the income, but they won't help you. They won't raise a finger to help you around the house. And I've seen that a lot. Seen that a lot. And those women have to wash the clothes, they keep the house, and they work. I don't know how they do it. I really don't. And I definitely don't see how those marriages stay together. It's insane. Well, anyway, she began to resent it when I didn't help her enough. And I remember every once in a while she'd just start kind of complaining. I need some help. I need some help. And then I'd get resentful. You don't know how much I've got to study. I come home from school and I've got to start studying. I study until you're gone to bed, and then I stay up another 3 or 4 hours studying. Man, this Greek's terrible, you know. And you know, I wasn't sympathetic at all on that. And so I didn't realize, and guys, you need to realize this, that the norm is that a woman does not have the physical capacity of a man. Now, I know there's some exceptions, but the norm is that a woman does not have the physical and emotional reserves that a man has. And when you expect her, guys, when you expect your wife to perform with the same capacity as you have made a very serious mistake, because the norm is that a woman can't handle that. And that began to happen in our marriage. And, you know, where it really came out was in our ministry. Because what I found is that Angela wanted to stay home after work, where I was all fired up about going out in the highways and hedges and compelling them to come. And so that's problem number three. I'll go ahead and just share that one. I'm running short on time here. Because she was physically run down from work and worries on the job, as well as home responsibilities, she wasn't always interested in Bible study and having a ministry. She wasn't all that fired up about attending church activities and general spiritual growth. And so, guess what I did there? See, I was all busy getting spiritually prepared and academically prepared for the ministry, and I was keeping my wife out of the ministry and hindering her own spiritual development. That's what I did. And that was probably the biggest one, and to this day, the one that bothers me the most, that I really hurt her in that area. It really did hurt her. And I was really, what I did, instead of understanding the problem, what I did was I just nagged. You know, what's the deal? Don't you love God? You know, I mean, don't you really love God? I mean, I was terrible. I know all you women are out there ready to punch me. You know, that's really the way I thought, man, my wife, I've just made a mistake. I married a woman that really didn't love God. You know, that was really now I'd never say that to her, but that was really in my gut level. That's what I was thinking. You know, that, boy, I just married a woman that just didn't really want to walk it, just because she wasn't willing to give 75 hours a week, you know. And so this caused some tremendous problems. And she really began to feel rejection from me because of that, because I was never satisfied with what she was doing ministry-wise. And she was teaching a Sunday school class. She went with me to church visitation. And, you know, she was having a devotional life. Every morning she had her quiet time, and yet I wasn't satisfied. Because sometimes she wasn't fired up about my extra Bible studies I had during the week. You know? She wanted to stay home, be with me some. And so I was really pushing her into a lot of spiritual activity. And then when I began to recognize this, what happened? I couldn't challenge her spiritually. I couldn't be a challenge to her spiritually, because what I'd done is I had taken all of her emotional and time resources away from her, because she was providing for us primarily. And every time I was tempted to say, well, why don't you start memorizing the book of Matthew or something, you know. Well, then all of a sudden I'd have to zip, you know, catch myself, and I'd say, oh, she doesn't have time to do that. She doesn't have time to have a ministry. She's providing for us. She's working. She doesn't have time, and I can't nag her about that. And so, boy, I just had all this frustration inside because of that. So that was probably the most devastating thing. And guys, when you put your wife in the workforce full-time, career-wise, you have really seriously hampered what she can be for God. You really have. One more. Which one can I do here real quickly? Even though she tries hard not to do it, she assumes more and more of the financial responsibility. She begins to take that burden on herself. She tried not to do it, man. She'd bring home that check and hand it to me and say, here's our money. You know, she really would try. And she never, ever said, well, I'm the one that's really working around here. Why can't I have this? She never said that. But what she did, she began to worry about our finances and worry about the bills. When they came in, she'd want to open them and see how much they were. And if I didn't pay them that day, she kept taking them off the little place where I kept them and looking at them to see if they were being paid. And man, that threatened me some more. That threatened me big time. What's wrong? Don't you trust me? What's wrong? Don't you trust me? Boy, I said that so many times. And so she really found it difficult to put confidence in me because of that. And all I did was I built resentment. I resented that. And I felt guilty about my lack of responsibility. And I just would continue to say, well, you just don't trust me. You know, why don't you trust God to work in my life? That was my big spiritual accusation. Why don't you just trust God to work on me and you quit working on me? You know? And so, I know. I was a great seminary student, man. I tell you what, I knew how to wax spiritual. This is the next step that happens. The first thing that happens is the wife begins to assume the financial responsibility. And I'm talking here, you know, I think this could be applied as well, whether you're, man, if you're working and you're making as much money as your wife's making or more, but she's working, she will begin to get involved in the finances and want to make real key decisions on the finances. And so what happens, well, the next thing that happened to us was not only did she worry about the finances, but she began to find it difficult to trust me in anything. She really did. She found it harder and harder to trust me in other areas. And boy, you know, I don't think she'd ever said that, but it just began to get communicated. She'd ask me, you know, well, have you done this? Well, have you done this? You know, and I'm kind of spaced out anyway, and so I hadn't done it a lot of times. And boy, it just made me madder, you know, and I couldn't do better because of it. And so the guilt would just pile up. And so, you know, I think, you know, the big thing that you've got to recognize is that a lot of the things, and see, this didn't happen. All these things happened over the course of 3 years. It happened over the course of 3 years. And boy, my wife's got a 3.8. She had graduated with a 3.8 grade point in math. And she's a very competent person. She could have gotten into the job workforce and been making a lot of money. It was in math. Did I say math? She could have gotten in to the workforce and been making good money and could have really pursued a career and everything. And yet she's chosen not to. And let me tell you something. She is a lot happier than she was when she was working. She really is. Now, there are days when you've got kids, and we've got twins at home, and they're 2 years old. And sometimes that's not all that fun. But if you ask her if she wanted to choose between sending Heath and Emily to a daycare center and letting somebody else teach them their values and picking them up from their peers and developing basically the world's value system and having a career, she wouldn't even have to pray about that one. You know, she really wouldn't. She knows she is very happy where she is. And the thing that I would just encourage you to realize is that our culture has bombarded you with the fact that women cannot be happy at home. Because, see, a lost woman can't. A lost woman really doesn't have any reason to be happy at home. She might as well go out and try to make a lot of money because she can't be happy at home.
When you finally got a job, did she quit?
She had to relearn, but she has.
No, she, I mean, when you got the job, did she quit her?
Yeah, she sure did. That's when we got... Oh, when I got a full-time job, mm-hmm. Yeah, she hadn't worked since, so, and has not regretted it. And one other thing that I had forgotten about when I let her work was that Men, when you let your wives go to work, you have put them under a tremendous pressure at work. And I'd forgotten about this, because see, I worked for a year, and I was working in a clothing store selling clothes, and I worked around women. And I'd never known adult women and what they were like. And I tell you what, I would not, and I knew, and the adult men, the men that were in their 30s and 40s at work, they were the filthiest individuals. They were just what Sandra said, they were looking for a new, there was a divorced guy there, and man, he was doing nothing but looking for a woman. And he wasn't just looking for a wife, he was just looking for a woman. And he was doing it all the time. He was flirtatious, and it didn't matter about whether the woman, one of the women was married that was working there, and he flirted with her just as much as he did the others. And I tell you what, you put your wife in a tremendous, under tremendous sexual pressure when you let her out in the workforce. So,
Wedding rings have lost their significance. Used to, they meant the person is off limits. They're taken. But today, so what? So it's a serious, serious thing. It really is. And when if you go to work as a woman, I don't care what your degree is in, if you go to work, you need to walk out that door knowing that God is for what you're doing. You need to have the confidence that the Lord wants you to do this. Not just because your husband wants the luxury. I have a luxury items. I have a friend today, and her husband is a medical doctor, and she is having a tremendous ministry, but he thinks she is wasting her talents because he wants her to work. Now, she doesn't need, he doesn't need her money at all, but it's a real, real problem. She doesn't want to work because she realizes how God can use her in so many other areas, but it's a real problem. Do you have any comment about what Matt and John said?
No. Amen.
Thank you, John. We appreciate your honesty. And it's not just, the problem does not just arise in, like in John's situation when he was in school and she was having to support him. It's also when the man is making money and he just wants more things. So men as well as women need to have convictions about these issues because your home will be directly affected. Before marriage, you need to decide and to discuss what your convictions are. A wife must feel, though, that her husband regards her homemaking abilities as very important, so much so that he wouldn't be as effective in his own job if she weren't there to carry part of the load. He must communicate that attitude. I think this is part of the problem today, is that women feel unappreciated. They feel like they're just a housekeeper, and anybody can hire a housekeeper. There's a vast difference between housekeeping and homemaking, a vast difference. And as long as I feel like that what I'm doing is that because of that repetitious housekeeping job, that's part of it, but the repetitious housekeeping job has no fulfillment, no satisfaction, when you realize, oh, he could pay somebody to do this. You know, this is just any dum-dum can do this, you see. But when I realize that I am irreplaceable, at least as far as God has let me remain in his life right now, and death has not parted us, that I am an irreplaceable part of his team. And if a man is not willing to communicate and to value her role as homemaker, to appreciate what she does. And boy, it doesn't take the big things. It just takes the occasional comment, the, hey, that looks neat. I appreciate what you do. You see, it doesn't take the, millions of dollars to communicate that to your wife. The attitude of the wife will be in direct proportion to that of the husband's view of her contribution. Now, parents have the awesome responsibility of shaping the future of their kids and their grandkids by what they do and what they don't do. Many parents, in hindsight, look back and realize that their kids' problems, a lot of times, are in direct result to their own mistakes, and they'd give anything to change some of the things they did years before. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says that as parents, we ought to be teaching our children and our children's children every possible moment that we can. We're blessed today with so many good books and resources that a few years back we didn't have. When Brent was little, we didn't have the tremendous resources that you have today. But people would have given anything. My parents would have given anything to have had some of these resources. Therefore, our excuses today, because of our resources, for failure are pretty flimsy. We don't have to make some of the mistakes that other people have made. God has entrusted us with a tremendous responsibility and privilege. Will we be faithful? We're not saying that a woman, though, lives totally and exclusively for her family, her children, because even these are temporal relationships. My service and responsibility should be discharged as to the living God. My husband and children, though, are recipients of God's blessing to him through me, through my life, through your life as a wife. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children and her husband shall rise up and call her blessed. That's what I'd like on my tombstone.
You know, we've said this to you men before, but the thing that of your wife feeling significant to a large degree depends on your letting her know that. Your expression of appreciation for her and letting her know that you appreciate what she does is very, very important. Now, another aspect that you need to discuss in your home is the area of hospitality. And one of the things that we're just going to quickly touch on this, we may have to give some more time to it later, but you need to see the potential of sharing your home with others. There's no greater ministry base than the home. And one of the reasons that we've chosen, though, through the years, for Sandra not to work is for that very reason, because we want our home to be a ministry base. And like, for example, we wouldn't be having 9 people eating lunch in our home today if she had been probably working this week. And we found, as a result of her being free during the day to plan, to shop, to do things like this, we have a much greater opportunity to use our home than we would if she was working. Genuine hospitality shown by committed Christians in a decidedly Christian home atmosphere is a powerful tool and a needed witness, both to Christians and to non-Christians. In 1 Peter 4:9, in the Phillips translation, it exhorts us to be hospitable without secretly wishing you didn't have to be. In Romans 12:13, in the Living Bible, says, when God's children are in need, you be the one to help them out. And get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner, or if they need lodging for the night. That's Romans 12:13. This is good for you and your children as they see you using what God has blessed you with. Most people are just too selfish, though, really, to be bothered. And one of the things that you really ought to discuss before you marry is the fact of how you want your home to be used. Now, some are more people persons and others are more loners. And some don't like to entertain because they're selfish. They're selfish with their time and their possessions. Some don't see the idea of ministry at all. So you be sure and check with the person you're dating about their attitudes in this whole area. What about the home? Are they willing to share the intimate parts of their life with others? Because a working wife has only limited time, hospitality is often completely ruled out. It takes time and effort to be hospitable. But the blessings you receive just knowing that you're obeying God is well worth it all. Now, do you have any questions at this point? If you want to direct to us or to John or anyone. Yes, Vince.
Sandra mentioned about the prayer first, whose husband wanted to work this part of his place for work. Should she not work since he
wants her to work?
Probably in that situation, if that's what he wants her to do, and it's not a violation of a moral issue, then she has, and she does that some.
She's helping him in his office.
Yeah.
To appease
the situation.
And so far, it's okay.
See, of course, what grieves us about that is his his selfishness and his unwillingness to see the tremendous ministry that she could have. Because if he has one, nobody knows about it much. See,
this is a situation where she's a people person and he's a loner. He just did not, you walk into his home and she's very gracious and hospitable, and he heads out the back door. Hi. And he's gone. And it's an unequally yoked situation in lots of areas.
Deacon.
No, he's not.
He's not a deacon?
I don't think so.
Active in church, anyway. Anybody else? Now, these are areas that, we can't point you to a verse and says the law of God says you must do this. But we're trying to help you to see the general tone, what the scriptures do teach. But we would say, without any qualification, woman, if you don't want to be a homemaker, do not get married. I'd say that to you, without any qualifications. If you don't want to be a wife, if you don't want to be a mother, then I suggest you just go right on and just roar on 90 miles an hour after your career. And fellas, if you run into a girl who her primary concern in life is her career, tell her goodbye. Because you are headed for problems if you marry her. So, now that's not, I'm not to say that no woman ever in the world will ever work outside their home. There might be times that God will do that. But you need to take in consideration what the results will be.
And what if the wife has spent, several years on a career, let's say she's a lawyer, and she wants to fulfill that amount of time she feels as though would be necessary to, for her to feel like, wow, I've accomplished something. And you decide, and both of you decide, okay, well, she can have her career for the amount of time she wants, but when she decides to have children, that's when the career stops. Is there anything wrong with that situation?
Well,
if you both agree, okay, yeah, we'll both work together to make the home,
Well, that'd be a decision that you would have to make, and I know of a situation like that. I know, had a good friend, for example, that married a pediatrician, and later when they came to the point where they felt like they needed some extra money, she worked part-time in a school situation, was never away from home when the children weren't, and was able, as a result of her profession, to make a great deal of money in a very short period of time. They worked that out for a period of time. But over a period of time, she found, even then, that today, though she could make far more money than her husband, she is very, very contented as a homemaker. So I think the thing of it is, any time you upset what God intended primarily is the role of the husband. Now see, it's not to say that the wife may not help with income from time to time. That might be something that God would do in a special way. But see, a wife in her home can do so much. For example, if Sandra's not working when it comes time for shopping and when the sales are on and to be free and available, there are a lot of things she can do. Now, some of you are going to think this sounds, 100 years ago, but there are times at which there's sales and things that are on, or their neighbor's got peaches falling off the trees and she's canned. She's done a lot of things that have helped, but it's never taken her out of the home in order to do that.
This doesn't mean that you just sit home in the four walls. You clean your house and you sit there and look. Uh-huh. Do you understand that? Life is full. I don't have time to work. There's just so much that you can be doing. You do need time for your own personal relaxation and doing something. This does not mean you're lazy. There are some days I never sit down, literally. I never, that is the honest truth. I never sit down even to eat because there's just so much to be done. But there are other days that I would have some time, you see. But if you're working, you schedule everything around that 8-to-5 job. And you give the best hours of your life to somebody else's husband. Okay? As a woman, you give your energy, and it dissipates your energy for lots of things at home. You're too tired for many of the normal things of life. And so we don't want to come on as condemnatory. And you can't, you know, you don't go back and talk to your parents about what they did. We are trying to help you to see some biblical standards, to see some consequences, to help you make choices, to help you realize the price you'll pay, and to realize the kind of the bigger picture rather than just listening to the world. If we come to see you in 10 years and your wife is working, in no way do I plan to be condemning of you. Okay? If I am, that's my problem, because I'm going to have to trust that this is what God has led you to. You'll be suffering your own consequences if this is not what God's led you to.
I thought it might be helpful if you tell us some of the things that you are involved in.
That I'm involved in? Yes, I've been involved in an international ministry up until this year, and this year I'm more involved with an Engaged Girls Bible study on Wednesday night and meeting with girls there at the BSU. Tomorrow I'm going to have lunch, a potluck luncheon with Angela Harrington and Jerry White and some people. We get together every other week. I can go to Christian Women's Club, which is a real neat deal, about once a month, and get some fellowship with other ladies. Let's see, what does my week include? It includes grocery shopping, housekeeping, cooking, making my own bread. I've got rolls in my freezer we're going to enjoy today, that a wife normally doesn't have time to do. More so. And you can always give if you're, my background is secretarial. I love it. I'd love to work, and I can get in there and I can just do what I want to do. I mean, I do, and I get my fill of it and I go home. And nobody says, you got to be back tomorrow at 8, you see. I can quit and I can help as they need me. I can kind of, you know, get my feet wet and take off. And it's nice to be able to offer your services, but you're not obligated. You see, because it doesn't take me very few, it takes very few days of working and then trying to go home and cook supper, you know, and you're burned out real quick. You don't have time for God. If you did, you don't feel like it.
I know someday she has as many as 5 conferences, which is 5 hours a day in meeting with girls some days of the week. And see, I'm grateful for that because, I think that I could go home, and basically, if all I did was just take care of her, I'd have a pretty good ministry. I really would. And so I'm grateful for that. She also has time to usually jog about 5 days a week for about a mile and a half, 2 miles or so, and keep herself fit. She has time to enjoy things that I think a lot of women do not. So we were in the bank recently, walked into a bank, and the president jumped up, came over and saw us and said, we're looking for someone that's been in the community for a while that can meet people. And it's obvious he want to talk to Sandra. And, you know, I don't think there's enough money in Norman to draw her out of the home and the opportunity that she has, because he wanted her to go to work for him. And we had a lawyer to call one day. He had a sick secretary, and he had just lost a secretary, and said, would you allow Sandra to come help me for, you know, this week? I'm really in a bind. So we talked about it. We felt like it's a ministry. So he did. Well, he wanted to hire her because he just didn't have secretaries like she was. And nope, we're just not interested. And I tell you what, it's a real joy to me to know that each day, as I try to make the funds for the family, to know that she has a privilege. If she wants to go have lunch with a lady, she can do that. She can go buy a lady her lunch. She can go over to her home, visit with her. She can lead a Bible study. She can come to the BSU when some girl wants to talk with her and visit with her. It's just a real joy. I like the plan. I think God knows what he's doing.
Isn't it sometimes a trap when, you know, she works for the week and then you decide that that would be a ministry, and then he says, well, I want to hire you, and then you say, well, yeah, that could be my ministry, helping him at the office.
Not when you think of her priorities. See, That was, we wanted to help the man because we cared about him. But he can hire another secretary. See? But he can't hire my wife. Okay? Vast amounts of money.
You know, big bucks. And that is a real, that's a real problem today if you've got a wife that can make it.
Our time's gone. Let me just make one final comment, and that is to say, too, that it's easy to look at your check and say, well, we can't do this, you know, because you just look at your check. Now, let me tell you, God is not limited to the amount of money you make. It's been a real joy to Senator. And I had to just look at, to me, to see that, like our neighbors, some of them that I know what the fellow makes because we've discussed it, and he makes a great deal more money than I do, but we have his highest standard, or probably a higher standard of living than they do. Because, you know, we pray about purchases. We've got, you know, we can take you to our home and just show you some unbelievable things that God has provided. And I know John sees this, just at times, you know, there's a need, and God brings in extra money. There's phenomenal ways in which he can do this. So don't, when some of you fellas think sometimes, I just don't see how we can make it on my check. Well, you don't make it on your check. You make it with God and his provision. And if God wants to provide for your check, fine. Now, normally that's the way the Lord does it, but he can certainly bring in over and above that. Okay?
It really isn't, we're not saying it's wrong for the wife to make money. Okay? Because really, come up with some creative ideas. If you want to teach piano, if you want to find out what your, you know, Angela can tutor. If they got in straits where John felt like it'd be helpful for her to help, she could tutor math in her home. See? And it's not wrong to make money, but it's just what price are you paying to do it?